Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, here's the thing. You binge watch your favourite TV show, but a week or so later, you can't remember that much about it. This isn't because of some deficiency in you. In fact, it's pretty typical. At the University of Melbourne, they've actually done studies on it. On the line from there is neuroscientist Jared Cooney-Horvath. Good afternoon, Jared.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Could you start by explaining to us, what is the forgetting curve?
So the forgetting curve, so it's been around for about 120 years, and it's this idea that whatever you learn today, if nothing else happens in your life, you will forget about 70% of it within the next 24 hours. And then if you keep spreading it out throughout the week, by the end of the week, you'll forget about 80%, and then it'll just keep declining from there.
And does it matter what kind of information it is? What, you know, if you've made, for instance, a conscious effort to remember it, does that apply?
That's where things get fun. So there's ways to break the curve. So we know the curve exists, and it will work across the board if nothing else happens. But we know that if you start thinking about something, or if you review something, or if you turn something into a story, or if it resonates with your life, then there's ways to kind of break that curve. So we're always going to be forgetting stuff. But let's say you study the same thing, say, 3 days in a row. The very act of just looking at it again the next day, and then looking at it again the day after that, will be enough to actually start to kill that curve. So now you can start to remember 50, 60, 70, 80% of everything without forgetting it. It's all kind of how you choose to play with the material afterward.
If you do that, is there any way of figuring out how long you'll remember it for?
Yeah, so we've got it. And again, there's going to be specifics unique to each situation. But for the most part, what we can say is, if you distribute practice over three different sessions, so let's say you study, and it has to be a real study session, so you can't just study for 10 seconds. But if you do a real study session today, wait 2 days, do another real study session, and then wait 3 to 5 more days and do a third one, chances are you're going to remember 80% of what you've just learned for at least 6 to 12 months. And the joke is then if you just do one, like an extra practice session, say every 2 to 3 months after that, chances are you won't forget much of anything. So there's this real kind of simple algorithm to keep things in your memory. It's just so much easier to do a cram session the night before an exam and never do this extended practice, which we know works so much better.
So then in a circumstance where you binge watch something on Netflix, by the end of the week, Have you forgotten the vast majority of what you watched?
Oh my goodness, by the next morning, you've forgotten the vast majority. Yep. So we did we did research with that, and it's bad. I mean, it's overnight, you see a tremendous drop, and then 7 days later, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel at that point, which I think if you've ever done it, I think we kind of recognize that. So I'm not going to lie, even though I've done research with it, I still binge watch myself. And I 3 days ago binge watched something. I can tell you bits and pieces, but I don't really know the big stuff. The problem is it doesn't feel like it matters that much. So when it comes to binge watching, you know, it was fun. I don't really care if I don't remember everything. No harm, no foul. But the problem is we do that same kind of behavior with stuff that does matter to us. So we binge read books, or we binge study for classes, or we binge in entire kind of bodies of knowledge. I'm really into this, so I'm just going to study it for a day or two. And that hurts our memory for the things that we really care about.
So at the same time, we do remember something about it. Now, I know myself, you know, you wait a year or something for the next series of Game of Thrones, and I have absolutely no idea what happened in the previous series, other than I like Game of Thrones, and I can tell you something about the, you know, why I like it, other than the details of the plot. So there is a kind of an emotional residue left there.
Absolutely. So you're never going to forget everything. So there's this kind of this thing we have. So you have facts on one hand. So here are these specific things that you can point to in the world. So in this episode, Khaleesi wore this outfit and rode this dragon and killed this guy. And then there's these things called concepts, which aren't necessarily facts. They're just kind of things that hold those facts. So like science fiction is a concept, or Game of Thrones itself is a concept. So once you learn enough to form a concept, then that's kind of where you start living. So this is where a year later, we know we love Game of Thrones. We know it contains fantasy elements. We know we love these characters because that one scene, he killed that guy in a really gruesome way, and it was awesome. And that's about the 20% of facts we remember, and the rest were just kind of going off these broad concepts, these just kind of general themes that we like. And there's where, when we watch it again, yep, we can remember names, we can remember a few characters, and we can remember the themes, the big concepts, but the specifics are all just totally toast. And that's why, thank goodness HBO does that previously on, yes, before every episode, or else I'd be just totally lost. Whenever she, I'd be like, I thought she had three. Is there, how many dragons are there now? I'm confused.
We don't want to give away any spoilers, actually, on that one.
That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to dance around it at this point, in case someone hasn't seen it yet.
And individual people have individual strengths and weaknesses about things. For instance, again, me, yeah, I can never remember anyone's name. The person I tend to watch most of my TV with will remember everyone's name and gets frustrated that I just go, you know, you're the little fella and the woman with the blonde hair. That's how I refer to characters.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds like me and my wife. She remembers every character's name. We could be watching 10 seasons in, and I just know, dude with the mustache, right?
Yeah.
we do have different things that we focus on. And so the trip is where she'll remember names, I'll remember kind of these emotional resonances between characters. So she might know Steve and John, and I'll know, oh, those two guys like each other. She'll be like, really? That happened. So you kind of, everyone focuses on different little subtle things. And those kind of tend to flow back on what you value in your own life and what kind of things you find important and resonate with in your own studies. For my wife, the way it kind of works out is, her job requires her to know a lot of very specific things about people. And my job as a researcher, I kind of just know bigger themes and ideas. And that tends to be how we then remember these shows. So you're right. We all have our own little kind of quirks that we can kind of zero in on. And we'll say that's the 20% that you can probably remember for a long time. Just that other 80% that, if it's not important to you, it's going to go somewhere else.
But also, is a function in this the way we tend to consume TV shows now? If it's on Netflix, we can watch the whole thing at one sitting or a couple of sittings, whereas in the old model, yeah, where you watched it once a week, it kind of required you to remember more things about the show.
Bingo. Now here's the biggest joke about memory, is everyone thinks that it's the more you put stuff in, the deeper it's going to get, when in actuality, it's the more you bring stuff out. So just think about like a Euro note or something that you've seen a million times. You can't really tell the details of it, but think about a song that you've actively sung, that you've pulled out of your head a dozen times. That's stuck for good. So it's this idea of how often do you have to bring it up out of yourself, and that strengthens the memory. So same thing, if you look at the research, the people who binge watch, they do a very sudden and dramatic drop in memory. But people who watch one episode a night or one episode a week, just by stretching it out nightly or weekly, their memory starts to soar because they have to, exactly like you've just said, take kind of that split second at the beginning of the show and say, okay, wait, what's going on? What did I just see? Oh, yeah, that happened and that. And that very act of remembering makes everything deeper and more solid for them. So if you really want to remember a show, watch one episode a night. And if it's a 10 season or a 10 episode show, in 10 days, you'll remember almost 50% more than people who binge that all in one day. I mean, that's how dramatic it can be.
So by the same token, then, the internet, because it's a massive mobile library we all have, we don't need to remember an awful lot of things. We can just Google.
Poor Google. Yep. So now we run into this issue of what kind of memory do we really need or favor in our society right now? So we have kind of these two separate memory systems. There's more than two, but the two major ones are recall, and that's where you actively have to bring the knowledge from inside of yourself out, and recognition, that's where you just have to be able to find that knowledge somewhere in the world. So if you can imagine back in the day when books were scarce and conversations were rare and you see people randomly, everything was recall based. You had to be able to pull things out of yourself. But as soon as the internet comes along, what we've seen, and we'll do research like this, where if I have someone memorize words and I'll tell them they'll never see the words again, they can do just fine. But as soon as they know they can access the internet, and here's the website they'll find those words on, they memorize that website address. So it's almost as if we know, so long as we know where that information is, e.g. Google or any of those websites, that's the only thing we memorize. Then we just favor recognition past that. The idea being, if I ever need that information, I'll know where to find it, but I don't need to know it explicitly. Google can tell me that. A lot of people think that we're losing our memory.
Yeah.
When in actuality, we're just shifting it to favor this new technology.
Okay, so it's acting as an adjunct to our memory rather than our brains are rotting inside our skulls because they're not bothering to remember anything.
If you think about it, I mean, it still takes a lot of memory and power to A, know how to use a computer, know how to organize things on a computer, remember web addresses, remember files and folders. That takes an extreme amount of memory. And that's memory that people in the past were not even touching. So we still have the same power of recall. We've just used it to supplement our recognition memory. So instead of remembering the actual stuff, we just recall where it's at. And then we just use that to kind of take care of the rest.
There are these odd anomalies, though, sometimes where something just pops into your head. You know, like, again, in my own experience, I have to interview a large range of people in the course of a day. Often I'll go home. The kids will say, who did you interview today? I won't be able to remember. But then in 2 weeks' time, I'll go, I was talking to this guy, Jared, and it was really interesting about how we outsource our memory to, you know, to the internet. And you only remember 60 or 70% of what you've watched in a box set, and it'll all come flooding back. Whereas there would be a period where I would have no recall of it at all. Why does that happen?
So one of the strangest things people still debate this, but I think it's about as hard a fact as we can get, is you actually don't forget anything. Everything you learn or experience or think about is in there somewhere. The trick is, can you access it? And there's where kind of these sudden recollections and these remembrances come. I mean, I was thinking a couple of days ago, I heard a song from the 90s. So I'm a kid of the 90s. And oh my goodness, just that one song, all these memories of high school started flooding back, and these parties and people I knew, things I hadn't thought of in decades. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? It's all in there. It's just until you access it, it kind of becomes hidden away. So we think about things we access all the time. So our names, our faces, the people we talk to at work, our colleagues, because we access those, we're always kind of cutting a path to it, and they're always available. But things we don't access a lot, like what Khaleesi's outfit was, it's still in there. It's just kind of overgrown with vines and stuck in a jungle. And all we have to do is have one trigger to pull it back up, cut a path, and all of a sudden there it is. The memory was there all along. We just hadn't been able to recall it. So that's kind of the issue with that is we think all the information is still in there somewhere. It's just we need to find the right cues to trigger it up. And then the more you can trigger it, the easier it becomes to remember in the future. If in 2 weeks you remember talking to me, then it'll become easier in 3 weeks to remember that. And then easier a month later to remember that. Just by finding it and pulling it out, it makes it stronger.
Jared, I'll never forget you. Jared Cooney Horvath.
No.
He's a neuroscientist at the University of Melbourne. Jared, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.